Every February, we choose one Sunday as a congregation to be designated the Sharing Our Faith Sunday. It's an opportunity for me to share with you some stories about what's happening in Canada, in our Unitarian congregations, and at the Unitarian Council, which is the staff that we hire to help support the Canadian congregations. Chosen by us, to lead us. I say that carefully, because it sometimes seems like an uphill push to push away this recurring thought that the Canadian Unitarian Council is a group of people who are not us, and who dictate to us what we should do. It's weird to me how this delusion continues. It's as if there were sort of this group resistance to realizing that it's all of us who together make up the Canadian Unitarian Council. It is all of us who are in charge. So when I talk about the Canadian Unitarian Council, I want you to think about us, the Unitarians in Vancouver and South Fraser and Victoria and Comox Valley and those emerging congregations in Trail and Nelson. And where do you know Unitarians in Canada? Just shout out a place where you personally know where there's a Unitarian. St. John's, right. Mississauga. South Peel. Some of you have been to these places, yeah. Edmonton. New Brunswick, Saskatoon. Calgary, Edmonton. Hamilton. Etobicoke. Okay. St. Catharines. St. Guelph. Ottawa. Okay, we're kind of, yeah. Kelowna? Yes, North Hatley, Quebec. Yes, fabulous. So it's all of those people in all of those locations that are the Canadian Unitarian Council. It is us. Even in a little faulty thinking about our own network of congregations and the system we use to manage our denomination in Canada, there is this dualistic thinking. And I have a problem with that. And one of the themes that I bring to my life and to my ministry is the reminder that dualistic thinking is destructive to human evolution and to our healthy future on this planet. Dualistic thinking, either this way or that way, right or wrong, is archaic and not supported by science nor by experience. Thinking that there is only two options creates an illusion of this right and wrong, us and them. It creates antagonistic relationships, personal relationships, conflict in our relationships. Ultimately, it creates violence. A flower is never totally open or totally closed. A flower is always in this beautiful process of unfolding and then closing. You've seen those images on YouTube. To say that there are only two realities to being a flower is to ignore the multitude of moments between that being open moment and that being closed moment. And we are the same. We are moving slowly toward a full understanding of the fluidity of our own lives and communities. Contemplating nature is helpful. Understanding that we are part of nature and not separate from that ongoing fluidity is helpful. It's also true in our relationships. There's never a completely right or completely wrong position, no matter how hard you defend it. If you find yourself in one of those moments, it's that opportunity to take a look at what it is you're defending so hard. And ask yourself, what are you clinging to? Or what is the feeling of powerlessness maybe underlying that need to cling to your rightness. We rarely cling to our wrongness, so stick with the rightness. And it's also true of our religion. Yeah, I'm going to use the word religion this morning. Our religion is not about judging people, as some people are being right and some people are being wrong. We're not about that. It's not about getting all together sometime after death either and being saved. That's not our religion. It's other people's religion. This religion, I say, goes deeper into reality, this reality. And I believe that at its core, it is based on the interdependence of all life. So we look to our principles to support that. We affirm in the seventh principle a respect for the interdependent web of all existence, of which we are a part. Not apart from, okay? Not separate from, but a part of it all. 50%, not half of it, not us and all the other parts. We are part of that whole interdependent web, including humans, the earth, the universe, the infinite, limitless energy of matter and life, and all that is known and unknown. We are part of that pulsating energy that we call an experience as life. And this religion directs us to three sources to help us understand that interconnectedness. First source is our own direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder. And the fifth source that directs us to science, which can show us how all nature is interdependent. And the sixth source, we are directed to traditions like earth-based religions that uphold that sacredness of the circle of life and the harmonic rhythms of nature. The children's story today, right? Earth Mother beautifully, simply illustrates that reality of the interdependence between the human and the mosquito and the frog. So, another question for you. How do you experience interdependence? A moment to contemplate that. And she walks among you with her microphone, seeking a story that you might be willing to share, or an example of how have you experienced interdependence?
Well, as I shared earlier, it's my daughter's birthday today, and I think raising children just really brings home how interconnected we all are, how much I've relied on other people and other communities and to support me and my daughter on the journey.
Mm-hmm. This morning I was discussing kittens with Renee, and she was asking me if I was going to let my cat be an indoor cat or an outdoor cat. And it kind of reminded me of a few years back when I used to work night shift and finish at 3 a.m. and I'd often meet a pair of coyotes patrolling the neighborhood as I walked home.
Peggy will be the last.
Well, I just want to talk about water because a year and a half ago when we had so little water in Vancouver and we had to be very careful of it, I just became really aware of the rain and the snowpack and the water that we drink and use.
Thank you. So interdependence doesn't need to be complicated. Our experience can be as simple as holding our child, reaching out to a neighbor or someone reaching out to us, remembering that those trees breathe as we breathe. We share chemicals in the air together. One of my experiences of interdependence, sort of a mystical experience. I went to New York City in the dark ages, back in 1977, to specifically go to the United Nations as a Unitarian youth. And it was an extraordinary experience, but just one tiny moment, I was sitting meditating. There's a meditation room in the main floor of the United Nations, and I was meditating. I guess I was about 21, somewhere around there. And in my meditation, I saw North America, and I started to see these lights going on right across the continent. And where there were a lot of people, there were more lights. So there was density of light in different places. And I was touched by the idea behind that vision, which was, we are light, and we are interconnected together. We're not that different from each other. This was before computer graphics and so forth. You can now see this sort of thing on YouTube. But it was a deeply meaningful experience to me. So I want you to imagine now the map of Canada and turn all of those centers where Unitarians are across the country, see them as groups of light. Bigger centers will be brighter. Regina will have maybe only a few lights. All those lights that you see are people who care the way you care, who affirm as you affirm principles of respect and compassion, joy and justice, just like you do. People that believe that they have the capacity to transform darkness into light and to take that light forward. For 3 years, well, four, almost 5 years now, those people, those lights across Canada, including congregations, ministers, members, friends, staff, have been consulting each other and promoting a dialogue and refining a vision for what will lead Canadian Unitarians into the future. There was a real concerted effort to include as many people as possible in the process. And the vision that was created by us, by all of those lights across Canada, is this. Our interdependence calls us to love and justice. This year, a phenomenal event took off across the country. Unitarian congregations started sponsoring refugees. And it wasn't a nationally planned, decided on, and executed process. It was these lights going, I feel moved to do this. In this congregation, Terry McComas said, I feel moved to do this. And so he started a process here. And that spark was a similar spark in Victoria and Edmonton and Toronto and Montreal and Nova Scotia. It was what they call a grassroots. It's the fire in the grassroots movement initiated by those lights. Initiated by love. That love that binds us, that love that calls us out of the experience, out of the knowledge of this interdependence. This love that comes from interdependence is a love that exists in all of creation. We are called to love. This is a profound vision, a big challenge for Canadian Unitarians to take on. We are declaring that this is who we want to be. This is who we will be. And we are saying we will listen to the call of our interdependence and that it will summon us to love. And may I ask now that you reflect on the meaning of what it means to be called. To be called, it's a Christian term often associated with being called by God. But you could also be called by your principles to stand against injustice or change your consumption of technology. You can be called to all kinds of things. What have you been called to? Anybody willing to share one small thing that they were called to?
The universe called me to become an addictions counselor, so, and a social worker.
Okay.
I don't know how I've been called, but it seems that I've been called to see what individual people have in common and to make connections between them, to put them in touch with each other. And this is very, very important to me. I think it's a gift I've been given and it's a calling. Mm-hmm.
Lovely.
I'm not quite sure what to choose, but after what Jean said, I suppose I will say that in some strange way, I also am called to make connections because I do not understand why, but when I get into a bus or wherever I am, I seem to be able to make some connection with the other people there. And I think that these very small connections are actually very important, not maybe in the individual connection, although I think that's important also, but in the people being able to reach out to each other and make some meaningful connection.
In places like buses and sky trains and waiting for elevators. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it's about. So we've chosen this vision together. Our interdependence calls us to love and justice. And although individually we are all called to things, this is a collective vision. This vision we created asks us to listen to the call together as a community that stretches from Vancouver Island to Nova Scotia. And then we envision that together, as this community, we will be moved by love and justice. Our vision is no more than a pipe dream or a pie in the sky of idealism. Unless we make it manifest in our lives, unless we live it and struggle with it, engage with it, smell it, taste it, know its limits as we can live it, and know its limitlessness as we can live it. This is our religion. A collective creation always revealing itself to us anew. Our religion is the meaning we give to live our lives fulfilled, A religion is how we get to love and justice, not as ideals, but from the reality of our lived lives. It's our religion because at some level we have experienced that interconnection of all existence. We may have arrived there through knowledge or through science. We may have arrived there through the fullness of our personal mystical experiences. We may have arrived there by observing and living human lives, a human birth, a human death, a human growth. We may have arrived there by watching our gardens grow and die through the season cycles. However we have arrived, we know that all life is connected. All life is interdependent. However we have arrived, we know that love is greater than fear and that love is greater than hate. However we have arrived, we know that as all life is interdependent, so love calls us to justice. I end now with a quote from Karen Armstrong, prolific writer on religions of the world. She says, "We can either emphasize those aspects of our traditions, religious or secular, that speak of hatred, exclusion, and suspicion, or work with those that stress the interdependence and equality of all human beings. The choice is ours." So be it.